Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount, and we have arrived at the final paragraph at last. Matthew 7:24. Here's how Jesus closed out the greatest sermon ever preached. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
A storm is coming. The God of heaven is going to shake this earth with an awesome storm. In fact, it's going to be the perfect storm. And everything that isn't cemented deep into bedrock will be destroyed. Today we come to the very last paragraph, and you think, how do you conclude the greatest sermon ever preached? How do you wrap that up? Well, Jesus closes it with a parable about two houses and a storm. So let's begin by looking at the storm, and then we'll look at the houses. Verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Now, Luke's account comes out this way, in Luke 6:48, a flood came and the torrent struck that house. Now, all that language about the wind and the torrent and the flood and all that comes out of Old Testament pictures, numerous Old Testament pictures of a coming storm that the prophets repeated to the people very often. For example, Isaiah 28:1, woe to that city. And he's talking about the judgment of God coming. He says, woe to that city like a hailstorm and a destructive wind, like a driving rain and a flooding downpour. He will throw it forcefully to the ground. Isaiah 29:6, the Lord Almighty will come with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with windstorm and tempest. Isaiah 30:30, the Lord will cause men to hear His majestic voice and will make them see His arm coming down with raging anger and with cloudburst, thunderstorm, and hail. Ezekiel 38:22, I will execute judgment upon them. I will pour down torrents of rain and hailstones. So the idea of God's judgment coming like a storm is very common Old Testament idea, and I think that it's very likely that's the imagery that Jesus has in mind here when he brings up this storm, especially probably has in mind Ezekiel 13, which speaks of that storm in the context of false prophets, which is, of course, the context that Jesus is speaking here. If you look at verse 8 of Ezekiel 13, it says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying visions, speaking to the false prophets, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord, because they lead my people, verse 10, because they lead my people astray, saying, peace, when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Now, you didn't know the word flimsy was in the Bible, did you? I didn't. I had missed that before, but the word translated flimsy wall refers to a stone wall that has no mortar. Mortar is the cement between the stones that makes a wall solid and structurally sound. If you don't have any mortar, then the whole wall will just fall over as soon as there's any force against it at all. Now, whitewash refers to paint. They painted it. So the picture is the people build this wall of protection around themselves, protection from the storm of God's judgment. They come up with this wall is whatever excuses, whatever rationalizations or doctrines that make them feel like they're okay with God whenever they feel condemnation, that they're safe from being condemned by God and His judgment. That's the wall. And their wall that they built is flimsy. It's a joke. It has no mortar. The slightest breeze of God's judgment, the slightest little breeze of trouble was going to come into their lives, and their whole wall is going to collapse. We've got a term for that in our vernacular. We call it a house of cards. Right? These people thought that they were safe, but what they had built was a house of cards. And it would have been obvious that it was a house of cards, except the false prophets came along and painted the wall to make it look like a real wall. False prophets are good at that. They've got doctrines, they got rhetoric, they got ways of saying it that make you feel safe, make you feel like you're okay. God's judgment is on the way. The false prophets say, hey, don't worry about judgment day. Your house is fine. You're safe. You don't doubt it. Modern day example of a person like this was Rob Bell, who wrote the book Love Wins, to tell everybody there's no hell. You don't have to worry. All those people Jesus spoke about in verses 22 and 23 that we talked about last week, the people who are surprised on Judgment Day, they get to Judgment Day fully excited, fully expecting to go to heaven, excited about Jesus, calling him Lord, and are shocked when they're sent to hell instead. These false teachers are the ones that who deceive those people into thinking that they're saved. The storm is coming. It's the storm of divine judgment, and it's the most lethal and dangerous threat there is. It's the greatest danger there is. And so people build these walls, these houses, these religious houses to keep themselves safe, and the false prophets paint their flimsy walls to make it look like real walls. And then the storm hits in verse 11. Look at verse 11, about halfway through. It says, rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where's the whitewash you covered it with? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. In my wrath, I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger, hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. I will tear down the wall that you have covered with whitewash and will level it to the ground so that its foundation will be laid bare. And when it falls, you will be destroyed in it, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I will spend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with whitewash. So these people who are trusting in whatever religious ideas and accomplishments they're trusting in, the false teachers that help them deceive themselves, they're all going to be swept away like a house of cards when this perfect storm of God's wrath hits. Okay, that's the background of Ezekiel. Turn back to Matthew 7. And with that as a backdrop, it's not hard, I don't think, to interpret Jesus' words here. In the context of warning about false prophets and people being surprised on Judgment Day, he now talks about a storm. He's talking about that same storm, the Judgment Day. However, I think that it extends, the principle extends beyond the actual moment of being condemned. Scripture tells us judgment is a huge concept in Scripture. It's not just one moment. Scripture tells us of a time of terrible testing and wrath that will be poured out in the time leading up to Judgment Day in the end. And the rabbis described that tribulation, that trouble, and that wrath and that testing in terms of a storm. They also use this storm imagery to talk about that because that's all part of the judgment. It's all part of the same storm. And the storm will serve as punishment for the condemned and testing for the righteous. Just like our hardships in our life right now do. Exact same function. Every time we suffer any hardship, it's a test. Storms of divine judgment through the hardships of life expose how solid your faith really is and how solid your foundation is. That's why two people can suffer the exact same trial. One is unfazed and the other one is destroyed by the same trial. Because we're all on different foundations. And so in today's text, Jesus is going to teach us how to be those who are not flattened when the storms of life hit and who will not be condemned when the ultimate storm hits on Judgment Day.
What are some storms that have blown into your life? Think of a recent one. What did that storm reveal about your faith and your foundation? Have you seen other godly people go through a similar storm? And have you seen it hit ungodly people? What was the difference in the responses? And what does your response tell you about your foundation?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.